Today is September 29th, 2007, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, morning editor for TMO.
And I am Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at awr@macobserver.com or phone 206-202-0647. And, oh, boy, I feel great this week. Man, this has been a great week for me. How about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm glad it's been a great week for you, Brian.
For those who don't know, and that's probably most folks, I've been on vacation all week while Jeff has not only had to work, but you sold your house.
I sold my house, and I'm in the middle of moving, and yeah, just all the fun stuff that goes along with getting out of one place and working on getting into a new place.
And not being able to slack off as much as you really should be able to, because your boss happened to have chosen that same week for taking a admittedly much needed break.
Yeah, but you know, that's kind of how that's nature's way. It doesn't matter how you plan stuff, you're always going to end up with two big things like that, you know, you needing to take the time off and me needing to get out of my place because I'm closing. Yeah, they're going to happen at the same time no matter what you do.
So the end result is that I've been off all week. I have no idea what's going on because I really did tune in and drop out, or tune out and drop, whatever. I haven't been paying attention to the news. And Jeff is both very tired and, quite frankly,
fried.
Fried, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd like to say that not knowing what's going on certainly isn't going to keep me from having an opinion on anything, but you know, I'm sure you're surprised by that, Jeff.
I am. I'm absolutely stunned.
All right. Well, and of course, folks, I'm mostly kidding. The things that we're going to talk about are things that Jeff has brought me up to date on, and that I actually did know about anyway. But anyway, be that as it may, let's get on with the news.
Apple rolled out a slew of updates this week, replaced its general counsel, and Microsoft finally announced when we'll see Office 2008 for the Mac. The iPhone update that Apple warned could brick hacked iPhone units was released, and Amazon launched its own music download service.
Apple unloaded all kinds of software updates this week. First, recent model MacBook and MacBook Pro owners received an update that activates journaling for their hard drives because apparently some shipped with journaling turned off. Journaling helps preserve the integrity of the files on your hard drive in the event of a system crash or if your Mac is unexpectedly shut off, so enabling journaling definitely sounds like a good thing to us.
And Apple also released a series of updates for the iLife 08 suite. They started with iLife Support 8.1, which fixes some issues with the shared code the iLife apps use. iDVD, GarageBand, iMovie, iPhoto, and iWeb all received updates that improve performance, stability, and compatibility with other applications. The iWeb update also takes another crack at fixing the iWeb 1 project importing issue that the previous updates couldn't quite seem to tackle.
Along with those iLife updates, Apple released updates for iWork 08. Keynote, Pages, and Numbers all received minor updates that Apple said addressed performance issues. Keynote also received a fix for builds and presentations. Pages got a fix for tracking changes. And perhaps the most exciting news in this sexy update is that an unspecified yet slinky issue in Tables was fixed for Numbers.
And finally, Apple released an EFI firmware update for the MacBook Pro. Firmware update 1.4 is for the Intel Core 2 Duo MacBook Pro, and it fixes some issues with using Boot Camp on those models. All of the updates Apple released this week are free, and they're available through the software update application.
Apple announced this week that Daniel Cooperman would be taking over the position of general counsel for the electronics megacorp. Mr. Cooperman is currently the general counsel for Oracle, run by Steve Jobs' buddy Larry Ellison, and he's also the chairman of the Software and Information Association, which is the largest trade association in the software industry. Mr. Cooperman is taking over the position from Donald Rosenberg, who has only been on the job for 10 months, having taken over himself for Nancy Heinen. Ms. Heinen left Apple following the company's stock option backdating scandal. Daniel Cooperman will take on his new job at Apple in November, while Donald Rosenberg is moving on to Qualcomm, where he'll be general counsel of that company.
And Microsoft has been slowly releasing details about the upcoming release of Office 2008 for the Mac, and on Tuesday announced that the Office Productivity Suite will be available in three different bundles and that they'll all be available on January 15th, 2008. The new version of Microsoft's Office Productivity Suite will be universal binary, which means it will run natively on PowerPC and Intel-based Macs. It will support Microsoft's new OpenXML file format, a feature already included in Apple's iWork 08. Microsoft Office 2008 for the Mac will include Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Entourage, Microsoft Exchange Server Support, and Automator Tools for $399 U.S., A Home and Student Edition, which is really the same package but at a lower price, will cost $149. And finally, a Special Media Edition will be available that adds the Microsoft Expression Media Digital Asset Management application to the suite, and that'll be $499.
You know, Jeff, I'm going to take a slight break from the news and say that we often come down on Microsoft and seldom the Mac business unit's offerings, because I quite frankly think that they do terrific Mac software at the Mac business unit. And I'm looking forward to seeing this update. How about you?
I am really looking forward to seeing it, especially because it's going to be Intel native finally. And I have found Word just to be dog slow on my MacBook Pro.
Yep, it'll be hopefully a good thing. Yeah, so we'll get back to the news. Sorry about that unscheduled break, folks. The iPhone update everyone has been waiting for, or dreading, depending on your perspective, arrived on Thursday. iPhone update 1.1.1 brought the iTunes Wi-Fi music store to the iPhone, along with several other enhancements like louder speaker volume, a double tap function for the home button that works as a shortcut to phone favorites or music controls, support for TV out, the ability to deactivate Edge when roaming internationally, the ability to double tap the space bar to add a period and a space at the end of a sentence. That's a BlackBerry feature, as I understand it, and more.
And Apple warned that hacking the iPhone to unlock it could leave users with a sleek paperweight if they tried applying the 1.1.1 update, and that's pretty much what happened. It appears that some of the procedures people have been using to unlock their iPhone so they can be used outside of AT&T's network cause some kind of damage that prevents them from working once a new update is applied. Leaving your iPhone locked but adding third-party applications doesn't seem to be causing much trouble, but any applications that aren't Apple-approved will be gone once the update is installed. Translation: if you unlocked your iPhone, don't apply the 1.1.1 update.
Amazon is finally throwing its hat into the music download arena with the beta launch of its Amazon MP3 store. Amazon claims that it has over 2 million songs available and that all are available in MP3 format without copy protection restrictions. This effectively makes the service one of three mainstream download services that support the iPod. Amazon MP3 is compatible with both macOS 10 and Windows. Most portable media players, including the iPod, as mentioned, and songs can be purchased and downloaded from a web browser. Users wanting to purchase complete albums, however, will need to download the free Amazon MP3 downloader application. Unlike Apple's iTunes Store, Amazon tracks are priced on a sliding scale. While some songs come in at 89 cents per track, below Apple's 99 cents per track, many cost as much as tracks at the iTunes Store. The wide range of music coupled with Amazon's platform-agnostic approach to digital music sales could put Amazon MP3 in a position to compete with Apple's iTunes Store. If Amazon MP3 is plagued with the same complaints that Amazon Unbox suffered from... Let me say that again. If Amazon MP3 is plagued with the same complaints Amazon Unbox suffered from when it launched, Apple won't have much to worry about from the new player in the music download game. And I guess that means it's time for the Context Machine, the place where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on. And I have a suggestion, Jeff.
I'd love to hear it.
I know that you are waiting with bated breath. So let's go ahead and combine the Context Machine with the request line, because the comments that we got were basically people asking us about the iPhone update mainly. So why don't we just go ahead and kick off with that, and we'll call it the Context Machine and the request line.
I think that sounds great. And I'm going to start off by saying, Brian, what a trooper. You've been off all week, and you have very gracefully stumbled back into the podcast. So go, Brian.
Woohoo! All possible because of the hard work from Jeff and John this week. You guys are fantastic, and we can stop making this a mutual appreciation society, but thanks for making it possible for me to take the week off. And let's talk about that update.
I think that sounds like a great idea. Yeah, how about that update? Okay, I'll start by saying I went ahead and crossed the line between bravery and foolhardiness and installed the update, knowing that my iPhone had gone through a jailbreak process so that I could install other applications on it. It is not an unlocked iPhone. It's on AT&T.
Yeah, I wanted to stress that. Unlocking and jailbreaking are not the same thing, although you do have to jailbreak before you can unlock.
Right. So my jailbroken, whatever. My hack.
I think it's jailbreaked.
My jailbreaked. Great. iPhone went through the upgrade process without any problem. It went smooth, no issues. And of course, once the 1.1 update was installed, my iPhone no longer had access to any of the other applications that I installed through AppTap.
Now, though, you installed AppTap after the last update.
Right. So
okay.
I had done the 1.0.2 update, then I installed AppTap, and then now we have the 1.1 update, so I installed that.
So that was always the case. So whenever if you had jailbroken your iPhone and done anything with AppTap, or even before AppTap came along and you ran Apple's update, all of those hacks were gone. You'd have to re-jailbreak your iPhone, et cetera.
Right.
So that's the same as it's always been. What's really new and different here is that Apple has probably deliberately bricked units that have been unlocked.
You know, I'm wondering if it's deliberate or not, or if it's... I really wonder how much Apple could have done to prevent iPhones from bricking.
Oh, come on. If it was working before and they made a software, I mean, they're the ones that are in charge of the... All right, let's back up. So Apple had said that they very specifically weren't going to go out of their way to break hacks,
right,
while at the same time they weren't going to go out of their way to make sure that hacks worked.
Right. And then they released the statement saying, okay, we've looked at some of the unlock hacks and they cause irreparable damage.
Well, and no, they don't really cause irreparable damage. Well, I mean, not really. Because, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if it worked before, Apple is the one that's changing the software to make them not work now.
Right. So, you know, is that a change that they had to make so that other things could work? Or is that a change they made because someone's being an asshat? I don't know.
Well, I've got very mixed feelings about this. For one thing, I don't blame Apple for trying to protect its business. You know, Apple makes money from every AT&T iPhone that's out there.
Right.
They make a significant amount of money. And, you know, I kind of understand Apple wanting to protect its business model here. But at the same time, the notion of deliberately breaking these things to me is an unpalatable one. You know, I'm fine with Apple not supporting them in any way. I'm fine with someone coming into an Apple store with, hey, dookie-dookie-doo, I unlocked my iPhone so it'll work with T-Mobile, but now it's not working and stuff. So, you know, I'm wondering if you can fix it. I'm fine with Apple saying to that yo-yo, you know, no, go away. you voided your warranty by unlocking it. But again, the notion of bricking it on purpose, or and we don't know if they did it on purpose, but to me it's kind of, if unlocking them did not break them before and Apple is making some kind of software update that does somehow brick them, well, it's probably deliberate.
You know, if that's the case, then shame on Apple. I mean, well, what a horrible thing to do.
Kind of. I mean, I'm literally torn. If you're not getting that, I'm torn.
Yeah, you know, and the thing for me is that since I don't have access to all the code that Apple's working on, I mean, as if I could understand all of it anyhow.
Yeah, we're not coders.
I don't know firsthand if Apple had to do something, or Apple had a master plan for the way the iPhone's going to evolve, that this was all part of. And since people didn't know what Apple had in store when they started making these unlock hacks, they did something that hosed what Apple had planned already. So Apple just continued down their path. The hackers get hosed, and the iPhone continues on its merry way. It totally sucks, however it works out. Oh, and for people that don't know what bricking is, the process of bricking means taking a perfectly good working product and doing something to it that makes it completely unusable.
An electronics product.
Right.
Yeah. And so and the flip side of that is that, you know, even while I find the notion of Apple deliberately bricking these things to be unpalatable, and we don't really know if it was deliberate, but even while I find that notion to be unpalatable, excuse me, I have very little sympathy for those people who might have unlocked them and now have them bricked, especially when Apple warned, because of the fact that, you know, they bought the phone knowing that Apple was only supporting AT&T.
Right.
And if those terms weren't palatable to you and you wanted to go ahead and risk bricking it by unlocking it in the first place, more power to you. But, you know, here you have to be prepared to suffer the consequences of your actions.
I agree completely. Yeah. But, man, I just wish that after the 1.1.1 update, all of those other cool applications I was using from AppTap were still there.
Well, those will come back.
I'm impatient.
Well, sure. The AppTap developers will more than likely compensate for this new update. I mean, that tends to be what the open source hacking community does.
Right.
They adapt, especially, you know, I mean, if Apple wants to start a sort of cat and mouse mutually assured destruction kind of game, I mean, generally speaking, the open source community has won those battles from the get-go.
Yeah, that's very true. All right. Now, I have another question for you, Brian. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the notion that once Leopard ships, that Apple is going to be releasing an iPhone SDK?
Is that the rumor?
Oh, I wouldn't call it a rumor. I'd call it more of hope on the internet.
Oh, man. You know, maybe. I think that Apple should open the iPhone up. I think that Apple should embrace the concept of having all kinds of applications for the iPhone. I think Apple should embrace the idea of users making of the iPhone what they want. I think that Apple should embrace the notion. Can you please hum America the Beautiful?
Oh, sure. Dun, dun,
dun, I think that Apple should embrace the idea of the iPhone becoming a platform of people out there holding. Oh, man, I was on a roll. But no, but seriously, Apple should embrace this. Apple should just, you know, let the iPhone become what it's going to become, because it's a cool device. And what people have already done without any support or help or information from Apple is just amazing.
It is. It really, really is.
But you know, that kind of goes contrary to the way Steve Jobs thinks. You know, as my running joke is, Steve Jobs wants us to think differently his way.
Right.
And you know, and Apple is very much about control. I mean, I was actually really, really impressed when which executive was it that said that Apple wasn't going to go out of its way to break hacks?
I believe it was Phil Schiller.
It wasn't Phil. I think it was an iPhone guy.
Oh, okay. Well, then...
all right. Sorry, folks. Yeah, Sorry we didn't research, but you know that's the way the context machine works. We go where it is that we want to go, where the conversation takes us, I should say. But the Apple executive that said that a couple of weeks ago, you know, I was really impressed. I mean, I was like, that to me was a major step forward for Apple in regards to these kinds of issues. And yeah, so I don't know. To really answer your question, I'll believe it when I see it. How's that?
You know, that's a great answer, and I'll believe it when I see it too. But I really hope that this little happy dream that a lot of people out on the interwebs have comes true.
It's a series of tubes, you know.
I've heard that.
Yeah, with dump trucks.
Yeah, my personal interwebs is a dump truck.
You know, after a hard week's vacation, I needed a laugh. Thank you.
Hey, I'm here for you.
Brian Chaffin, jerk. All right. So by and large, so what do we got here? We've got the fact that the hacks are currently broken. You know, probably by the time most people even hear this podcast, many, if not most of them, will probably be updated to actually work.
That would be great.
Right? People... Yeah. With unlocked iPhones, need to not install this update. Don't do it.
Yeah, do not do it. And if you do it, send us an email or a message and let us know what happened.
Indeed. Or let me rephrase that. If you do it, send us an email letting us know how you feel about having a brick.
Yeah, that too.
Brian Chaffin, jerk. All right. So that's the iPhone update. Should we move on to Amazon MP3?
I think we should.
Let's do that. Amazon MP3, huzzah. How's that?
I think a huzzah is in order, but I'm going to offer a qualified huzzah. The huzzah part comes from the new player in the marketplace that is offering something that all of the music stores should be offering, which is DRM-free music that can work on any player. Yep. That's my huzzah part. The qualified yep. part is this is coming from Amazon and the same company that brought us Amazon Unbox, which was like ordering a movie online while running a stick through your eye.
You're a funny man, Jeff. Yeah, it is. Amazon, I don't really think that Amazon has ever won kudos for having, you know, great interfaces. And I haven't used the new service. Have I mentioned that I've been on vacation? Have you used it?
You weren't here? Where were you?
I was on vacation.
You were gone?
Yes.
No, I have not used the service. I went and took a look at it and, I was having maybe I'm just like I don't know, brain dead, but I was having issues on a personal level trying to find stuff on the store. It didn't feel as intuitive to me as the iTunes store does,
and it's not going to be. And it's any service that's going through a browser is just not going to be all that intuitive. Everybody has so far proven that. And I have actually pulled it up now because I also have a personal interwebs.
And, oh, great. Is yours in a truck also?
It's a series. Yeah. It's dump trucks and a series of tubes and stuff. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. So now while you're bringing that up, I know someone is going to send us an email saying, oh, but iTunes is a web browser, so it's the same thing. And keep in mind, the iTunes application is a very customized web browser designed to enhance the experience.
Yeah, it's optimized.
Right. So it allows Apple to do things with a web interface that you can't nearly as easily do with just a traditional web browser.
Right, right. And of course, at the same time, having it be on a browser does make it extra platform agnostic, and that's great. But it's just not going to be as intuitive. Not to mention the fact that I think, bizarrely, every company on the planet has also proven that, despite the fact that Apple has shown them how to do it, they that no one else can figure out how to make a user interface that doesn't suck.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's another issue. That's another context machine topic, I guess. So right. So we can expect this thing not to be as user friendly as iTunes. For many Windows users, I don't think that's going to matter because they've been dealing with Windows,
with the interfaces anyway that Windows gives you. There's no consistency there anyhow.
Right.
So why should they expect something different there? Sure, I understand.
So that aside, let's get back to this notion of it being a little bit cheaper and a little bit, not a little bit, but a lot DRM free, meaning that you can download a song and then add it by hand to iTunes and therefore your iPod. And that's great because it's DRM free.
Yes. And we finally are starting to see the marketplace doing what it should be doing with online music anyhow.
Which is
giving us copy protection free music.
I just wanted you to go ahead and say it.
I know. You wanted to hear me say it.
I did. And that is good, and we're happy about that. Still like to see those prices come down, as our longtime listeners and longtime readers will no doubt remember. I'm a big fan of having music drop down to 25 cents, 10 cents, maybe 50 cents a download, because really that's what it should be priced at. And we're not there yet, although this does give us a nice segue to mention eMusic, that third online download service that also supports the iPod, because they too sell music in MP3 format without DRM.
Right. So, excuse me. So now, finally, what I'm hoping is that we're finally seeing the beginnings of the snowball effect, so to speak, with the copy protection free music. And, you know, when you have three big players, relatively speaking, in the market that are offering this, it has to grow out to other players as well. You know, having the iTunes Store and Amazon, MP3, and eMusic all offering this, now all these other music services are going to start saying, look, we want to have the copy protection free music.
Whoa, let's back up, because only EMI is offering DRM free stuff through iTunes.
All right.
The other labels are still clinging to DRM when it comes to iTunes.
That's
a position
correct
that I find bizarre and probably untenable, hopefully untenable. Hopefully this deal with Amazon will be the leg that Apple needs to goose the DRM-free stuff from the other labels for their service too.
Right. Hence the beginning of our snowball.
Yes, hopefully. But I think my point interrupting you was simply to say that Apple is also at the beginning of that snowball.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that that I realized after I had some time for the whole Amazon MP3 thing to sink in is that now we're going to have this whole market of music services that suddenly don't have as much to offer. And I'm talking about the subscription services. It's really hard for them anyhow because the market has shown consumers want to own their music, not rent it. So how do you make something like that palatable to people when they can hop over to at least a subset of iTunes or to the Amazon MP3 store and get music that doesn't have copy protection?
You know, one of the things I love about you, Jeff, is that you're not afraid to just, you know, set me up for me to look brilliant.
Hey, that's my job.
And you do it well, thankfully. And the segue there is that eMusic has a subscription service that does allow you to own your music. So it's a lot different from the all-you-can-eat subscription services where you have to pay your money in perpetuity or you lose the songs that you've downloaded. What eMusic is doing is they're offering subscription services that limit the number of downloads that you can get, but you own those downloads. So for $10 a month, you get 30 downloads. Now that's roughly 33 cents a song.
And that's a lot closer to the price you'd like to see music at.
That is a lot closer to the price I'd like to see music at as I pull up my calculator, because for $20 a month, you can get 75 songs. And let's see what that is. Because I'm so smart. That's 26.6 cents per song. And that's even closer to the kinds of prices that I'd like to see. Of course, eMusic is only offering music from independent labels. They've got 2 million tracks, but they're all indies. And they are, I think, probably the second, not probably, I know that they are the second largest online music retailer out there behind iTunes, but they're like way behind iTunes. They're number two, but it's a tiny number two.
That's a start.
But it is a start. It is a start. And, you know, and all that said, I would rather get the iTunes Plus format, although I'm not keen on paying $1.29 a song. I'd rather have the higher quality AAC than an MP3. But again, what we have here is a start. And I am just very excited that Amazon has done this.
Yeah, so am I. And when I first saw that Amazon had the store going online in its beta form, I thought, oh, no. This is not going to be good. But I was thinking it's not going to be good because they would grossly, no, not grossly, manage it in a very inept fashion, you know, have another unbox on us. And that would be bad for the music industry, I think.
Well, it would be. And, you know, I got to give Amazon a little bit of credit here. They're certainly much better than, say, was it buymusic.com? What was that first second service that came out that was just a dog?
Oh, I've actually blocked that one from my memory because my therapist said I should. No, I can't remember what it was called.
I think it was buymusic.com.
That sounds very familiar. So, I mean, so we'll assume that's what it is.
Their service was just a catastrophe. And, you know, just quickly going through the Amazon MP3 service, it's, you know, it's no iTunes, but it's probably the second best one that I've actually looked at in terms of finding stuff. And a funny anecdote here to me is that looking at today's top songs, number one and number three are 1, 2, 3, 4 by Feist. Now that's the song that's being used in the new
iPod Nano commercials.
Exactly. I love the way she records her voice. But and I also don't know why it's number one and number three. I don't know if that's a product of this being a beta or if there's two different versions out there. But it is to me significant that their top song is the song being advertised for the iPod.
Oh yeah. And, you know, okay, so here's another thing that I think is very interesting about the music download services. The songs that Apple uses in its commercials are pretty much guaranteed to shoot up the charts.
Oh, yeah. But folks might know that I joined a new band. If we could ever get a song on an iTunes commercial, I would be stoked.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Apple has made several bands now. And that's also significant in my opinion. So anyway, I guess to close this out, I think this is a great thing. I don't know how much I'm going to be using it. I probably won't be using it all that much. Not keen on the MP3 format, but, do you know what the quality is?
256, I believe.
Well, shoot. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm going to try it out. I'll download a couple songs and see what I think.
Excellent. Well, you do that. And actually, at 256, I'd probably use it. I like that. Okay. All right. So there we have it. MP3, Amazon MP3. Good. We hope that it's going to be good for the industry. We think that it's good for iPod owners. We think that it's going to be good for Apple too, because this is just going to grow the market. And none of the other services have really grown the market.
No, they haven't. So
and growing the market is good for the labels. It's good for the bands. It's good for Apple. It's good for the iPod platform.
Right.
And. You know, it's not insignificant to me either that you look at the front page of the service and it says MP3 music downloads for any media player, and it's got a whole line of digital media devices stretching off in the background. But what's the one on the front? Of course, it's the iPod.
Right.
And it says all songs compatible with iTunes and Windows Media Player. Well, that's basically free advertising. Now, it's free advertising for Microsoft too, but that's free advertising for iPod and iTunes.
Right. And it also shows the focus that the consumer market has right now, which is if you have online music, you have iPod and iTunes. So anyone that's coming into the market that can offer something that's iPod compatible, well, of course they're going to hype that because, well, that's what everyone is thinking anyhow.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. So this is, you know, this is really good reinforcement. I think that everybody wins, and also has a...
Yes, and so anyone that's now saying, oh my God, the iTunes store is doomed, definitely not. This is going to help Apple. This is going to help Amazon. And if the record labels can pull their heads out, so to speak, and catch on to what's happening here, this will help the record labels as well.
All right. We'll see where it goes. And that's probably it for the Context Machine this week.
Yep, actually it is, because I'm about to say, if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com or phone us at 206-202-0647. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom. That's recorded for TMO, and that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.